You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, The Place is Bugged. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Everyone has a story to tell. Think about the people who tell you about their arthritis, their golf game, their kids, their whatever. My wife Diane often walks up to me. She doesn't say anything, but I know after 21 years of marriage that she's got something she wants to tell me. Teenagers love to tell parents that the parents don't know what's going on, and parents wish they could communicate to their teens, "Yes, we do know what's going on." Everyone has a story to tell. And when you tell it, you want to be heard. You want to be listened to. Communication is a complex process. If you think communication is easy, then you probably haven't been paying much attention to it over the years. It's complex. One factor that helps or hinders communication is your own integrity. Do you remember the little boy who cried, "Wolf," when there was no wolf in sight? When the wolf did come, no one believed that little boy. People didn't see him as a person of integrity. So when he had an important story to tell, no one paid attention. Do you want to be heard? One factor, remember, communication is complex, is that you be perceived as a person of integrity. The best way to be perceived as a person of integrity is to be a person of integrity. And the best way to be a person of integrity is to keep in mind that the place is bugged. The place is bugged. You know that line. You've heard it on TV and in the movies. Sometimes it's the good guy. Sometimes the bad guy who discovers a listening device hidden in the room. Sometimes the bug is hidden in a plant, or a lampshade, or a telephone receiver. Before the bug is discovered, people can be careless about what they say, but after that bug is found, they have to weigh their words very carefully. Got the picture? Now let's make the application. Your life is bugged. Every place you go, every word you say or whisper, every thought you have is picked up immediately by God. Compared to God, our modern electronic listening devices are like two tin cans with a string stretched between them. God picks up your every word, your every thought. Theologians, the people who study God, are prone to use big words that common people can't always understand. They've got three big words that fit here and that are worth learning. God, they say, is omnipresent. That means God is present everywhere. Matthew 28:19 says, "I am with you always." God is omniscient. That means that God knows everything. Psalm 139:4 says, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." There's one more O word, omnipotent. The God who is present every place you go, the God who picks up every word you say, every thought you think, is also a God who is all-powerful. He can use His power to help you, and He could use His power to punish you for what you do wrong. And that's scary. A friend of mine who's a pastor tells about a parishioner who got a divorce and then started sleeping around. When my friend confronted her about her immorality, she said, "I'll take my chances with God." That's ignorant. The Bible says it's terrifying to fall into the hands of the living God. She ought to stop playing musical beds and not take such chances with God. The fact that God's omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent doesn't let moral people off the hook either. You may not hop from bed to bed. You might not do drugs. You might not be juggling the company books for your own advantage,
But your life is bugged just like everyone else's. That ought to stop any self-righteous thoughts you might have. You know how ashamed you'd feel if some of your real feelings were known by others? You know how you'd feel if other people knew what you really think? Imagine the scene if people knew some of the things you've said about them behind their back. Well, those people aren't omnipresent or omniscient, but God is. He's got your life bugged, and He hates your sins. So then, the first step toward personal integrity is to acknowledge your sins to God. Psalm 51 gives us an example of what we all ought to say to God. I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Now, there's also a good side to this divine surveillance. Sometimes on TV or in the movies, you see the good guy wired with a listening device hidden beneath his or her clothes. This person then goes into a dangerous situation. Scared? Usually he is, but he goes into that dangerous situation knowing that help is handy. If the situation gets bad, the police can rush in for the rescue. What counts is knowing that you have a helper who hears and who is close. The place is bugged. More than anything else, the fact that God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent should encourage you. You've got a powerful helper close by. The God who knows your sins wants you to know that He's your helper. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. God is fully aware of your sins. Whether they're flagrant, like the bedhopper who said she'd take her chances with God, or whether your sins are less obvious, God knows them and requires that your wrongs be paid for. He sent His Son, Jesus, to do precisely that. At Calvary's cross, the omnipotent Son of God used His power to suffer God's just anger against your sins. Because He did that, you are forgiven. All the things that God has against you, all that is hidden deep within your soul, all that would shame you if other people knew, all that God knows and has forgiven because of His Son Jesus, all you need to do is believe it. And when you believe it, you're on the way of integrity. Integrity means that you strive for consistently correct conduct. Of course, none of us has perfect integrity. And that's why it's important that you do a daily integrity check on yourself. Review the past day. Think of the things that you did right and thank God for making that good possible. Think of the things that you didn't get right. Admit that to God. Tell Him you're sorry. Then open your Bible and read God's words of forgiveness. Read passages like Psalm 130, "There is forgiveness with thee." Or Isaiah 1, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." There's one more part to your daily integrity checks. Besides confessing and hearing the word of forgiveness, you learn from the Bible how God wants you to act. Case in point, a couple of weeks ago, I went down to the local hardware and lumber store. You know, the kind of store that's as big as an airplane hangar. I bought 7 boards for the deck, which I've been working on in the backyard. The clerk was in a hurry and said, 6 boards.
Aha, Dale, the clerk made a mistake. You can get a free board, and that's a free $5.
Well, that thought did cross my mind. I'm not perfect. But I quickly remembered what Jesus said. The person who is dishonest with very little is dishonest with much. So I told the clerk, no, there are 7 boards there. And I'm glad to say that I didn't go away and kick myself for being honest. I felt that I had practiced integrity. You can confess your sins and read God's words of forgiveness every day. You can go to church on Sunday and together with all the other sinners confess your sins and hear the pastor in God's name forgive you. But if you go out and don't strive to be consistently correct in your conduct, then something's wrong. In Isaiah 29, verse 13, God, the omnipresent, the omniscient, the omnipotent, God complains, "These people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." To put it in churchy words, your faith should show up in good works. Faith should show itself as you strive for integrity. Martin Luther wrote, "Good works should always be a sure sign to me, resembling a seal on a letter, to make me certain that my faith is right. If I feel in my heart that a certain work has flowed from the love in my heart, I can be certain that my faith is as it should be. Works are, therefore, the fruits and proof which freely follow faith." Of course, your works, such as demonstrating integrity, don't save you. But if you're not striving for integrity, there's reason to wonder about your faith. That's the way to understand all those Bible passages, and there's a host of them, that say that God is on the side of people of integrity. Psalm 34 is but one example. It says, "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them." The Bible often speaks like this. God takes care of the righteous. That doesn't mean people who are absolutely perfect. No one is. That does mean God takes care of people who strive for lives of real integrity. God takes care of those who admit their sins, believe his forgiveness, and then try to do what is right. With integrity checks in your daily meditation, and with other sinners in church on Sunday, you're on the way of integrity. And that's a big help. There are times when you will be able to communicate effectively because the person talking with you knows that you have integrity. You may not communicate effectively because your words are so compelling or because your point of view is so obvious. There are times when it's your integrity that will make all the difference. The other person listens to you and thinks, "Well, I know you. You're a straight shooter. Okay, I believe you." And of course, there are times when you don't get your viewpoint across. You may have truth and integrity, but the other person won't give you the benefit of the doubt. You're trying your best, but they keep throwing in your face that you still don't get it, do you? Well, in those situations when you struggle unsuccessfully to communicate, you can have a clear conscience. God knows that you're striving for integrity. You can go away from that failed conversation with the comfort that at least God understands. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." So, sometimes the only one who understands you is God. Trust him and keep on striving for integrity. Next week, I'm going to talk more about communication. Everyone has a story to tell, and when you tell yours, you do want to be heard. God's story to you is that he loves you, he's with you, and he'll always help you. Yes, God has your life bugged. Yes, you're under his surveillance. And yes, that should be a big help as you deal with people this week. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.